in early April, one of the first religious traditions to be impacted by the spreading coronavirus was Passover. This time around, the story of how God freed his people from enslavement in Egypt, particularly the parts about Pharaoh, Moses, and the plagues, felt particularly poignant. Since folks who observed the Jewish faith couldn't gather in person, they did what folks in many other religious traditions were doing. They gathered virtually, came together online. They took their Passover celebrations online. There were virtual Seder meals with all the things involved as assembled worshipers and families came together to share in this ceremonial dinner and to remember how God had brought his enslaved people out of captivity. And today's text from Exodus reads like a manual, in a sense, about how to observe the Passover meal, how to practice it rightly. Each element in it is symbolic. Bitter herbs are there to remind God's people of their suffering and sorrow and struggles in Egyptian bondage. The bread, made without yeast, recalls the haste and the readiness with which they had to be prepared to leave captivity. The meat cooked in the fire reminds the people of the fire of God's presence in the burning bush and the fire of his presence that would accompany them in their wilderness journey to a new land and a new life. And after giving detailed instructions about what to eat, the first main section of our scripture passage today closes with instructions about how to eat it. Not just what to eat, but how to eat it. For one thing, when the people eat the meat of the lamb, they're to leave nothing over. What they don't consume, they need to burn. They don't need leftovers holding them back. After all, they won't be returning. That's a crucial part of the story. They won't be returning. What matters most is what's ahead of them, not what's behind them. And when it comes to the Passover meal, it says, "This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Eat it in haste. Now, when it comes to hasty eating, we become experts, haven't we? We know as well as anyone how to eat on the go in a fast food culture. We've mastered the art of grab a bite and go. Take note of the fact that here in Bryan's Road now, both McDonald's and Burger King have dual lane drive-throughs now. That's partly with the impact of the coronavirus in mind and being able to accommodate the business, but it says even more about our time and our culture and our habits and our ways. Though when you're sitting in line, you often come to that point where you're not really sure who goes next, you or the car that's right over there beside you, at that point where the traffic merges. What if something goes wrong? What if they get my burger and I get their nuggets? Thankfully, the person who takes your payment and at the other window usually confirms what you ordered to make sure you got the right thing. Eat it in haste. For us, that often means French fries in one hand and a cell phone in the other, doesn't it? But for the Israelites, it wasn't about how to rush through a busy day, get as many things checked off your to-do list as possible, and squeeze in some nutrition whenever possible. That's often the way it works for us now, is squeeze in some food or some eating whenever there's room for that. For God's people, it was about traveling light, being prepared to set out on the way to a better place, a place of freedom, a place that was guaranteed by a God whose saving power was greater than all of Pharaoh's might. When God's people eat the Passover meal, we learn that everything about them should reflect their readiness to go, readiness to leave bondage behind. Note first, with your cloak tucked into your belt. Most Jewish people wore long, loose clothing. So if you were going to work or if you were going to travel, it often worked best to put a belt on or a girdle of some sort so you could tuck in the bottom of your robe and have greater freedom of movement and motion. So that's part of what's going on in that portion of our text. In addition to having your cloak tucked in, you're to have sandals on your feet. In other words, have your shoes on, ready to roll. And thirdly, have your staff in hand. That is a walking stick, because you're going to need something like that on a long journey through treacherous territory. I saw a woman taking a walk here in the Brines Road area one day this past week, and she was all dressed for it, dressed coolly, had her mask on, and a golf club in hand. A driver, in fact. So either she was ready and headed toward the first tee, or she was preparing maybe to fend off dogs or other things that she might have to deal with during her walk. She had her own version of a walking stick. So belt on, shoes on, stick in hand. That's the picture of a person who's ready to leave at a moment's notice. What a contrast when you think about it to our life, our way of life, our style of dress during this whole pandemic. Because in recent months, we've focused less, haven't we, on how to be ready to be on the move and focused more on how to stay put, how to stay in one location. We've learned more about how to settle in, how to stay safe, how to secure ourselves within our homes. We've worked from home. We've gone to school from home. We've ordered dinner from home. We've exercised from home. We've worshiped from home. I have a friend I was talking to recently whose church still hasn't reopened for in-person worship on Sunday morning. She said, you know, I'm starting to like this, going to church in my pajamas with my cup of coffee and joining the other folks in the congregation online. So COVID-19 has changed lots of things, hasn't it? Including our fashion trends, especially during the height of the lockdown. Many folks, lots of us included, didn't have to worry as much about dressing up for work or for school instead of the kinds of clothes that we'd often wear. You could spend most of the day in sweatpants, t-shirts, even shoes weren't absolutely necessary. You could just go from room to room in your socks. Our clothing choices during that whole stretch have been so much about, less about moving into action, less about that, and more about being as comfortable as possible. And we think of that picture and see what a contrast it is to the picture we get in our scripture today from the Passover mode of living that comes across in today's text. Everything about this meal, from the food to the fashion, has to do with being ready to go, being ready to travel. In fact, across history, some folks have even taken the part of the instruction about eating the meal in haste to mean that you should stand up while you're eating the Passover meal. Ready to go. God's people should be in a hurry, we're told in the text today. A hurry to exit from bondage and to enter into freedom. Now, for the people of Israel, recall that this wouldn't be a quick and easy relocation. They would wander in the wilderness for a long time after being brought out of Egypt before they eventually entered the land of promise. So moving toward and occupying this greater space called freedom isn't without its risks, its resistance, its challenges, and its troubles and threats. Herman Wouk wrote a book called The Will to Live On, and he talks about a meeting he had with the first president of modern Israel, David Ben-Gurion, and how Ben-Gurion urged Wouk to move to this newly planted nation of Israel. Eventually, their visit came to a conclusion, and as Wouk and his wife were getting ready to leave, Ben-Gurion said, "You must return here to live. This is the only place for Jews like you. here you'll be free. Free, replied Woke. Free, with enemy armies ringing you, with their leaders publicly threatening to wipe out the Zionist entity, with your roads impassable after sundown. Free? And Ben-Gurion replied, I didn't say safe. I said free. Like I mentioned, freedom doesn't necessarily mean complete protection from and deliverance from all risks and threats and resistance. As God's people in Christ, remember that we're not in this journey of following Jesus because it makes life more comfortable, more secure, more safe. That's not why we're following Jesus. We're in this covenant with God and with one another because God has come to us in Christ to rescue us from captivity to sin and death. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has brought us, we're told, out of an old world and an old life into a new world and a new life of freedom under Christ's reign and under the reign of God. And through faith in Christ, you experience the freedom of being a child of God, among the people of God, living in the freedom of God's sovereign love and work. Day by day, you get all kinds of opportunities to live out and work out that freedom that you have in Christ. There'll be all kinds of temptations and opportunities to just sort of stay put in your life where you are right now. Or better yet, maybe try somehow to get back to the past, where things used to be, the way they used to be, where things seem more safe and secure in what used to be. Remember that there were many times in their journey of faith, especially through that wilderness, when God's people Israel wanted to go back to Egypt, to what looked like security, safety, but was in fact bondage. But each Passover meal, and that's part of the reason they had this meal, to remind them of God's delivering work and to remind them of God's call and to remind them that God's call is always a call that summons you forward, not backward, with the need to be ready to go, always on the move. What do we see in our scripture today? Belt on, shoes on, walking stick in hand, ready to go, to move, to head forward, not backward. I like the way that F.B. Meyer has put it when he said, it is a mistake to be always turning back to recover the past. The law for Christian living is not backward, but forward. Not for experiences that lie behind, but for doing the will of God, which is always ahead and beckoning us to follow. During this whole pandemic experience, we've spent so much time focusing on staying put and staying safe. And rightly so, that's important for us and for others. But maybe God has also been present and working in these kinds of circumstances to help us remember, to renew, and to reestablish our identity as a people who are always in motion, in faith, in journey forward. Not a people who are trying to, well, let's get back to the past somehow, to the way it used to be, or just trying to take shelter completely in the present, but a people who are at the ready, we're told, prepared to travel, prepared to go further forward into new life in Christ. That's what God always summons us to. As followers of Jesus, we're always living out our lives in between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. Between our exodus from sin and death and the fullness of life in the freedom of the kingdom of God. And in that journey of faith, I think this disruption and the kind of uncertainty that's been created by COVID-19 can become part of the wilderness that we're still trying to journey through, where you and I learn all kinds of things, including learning about how to let go of things, of places, of patterns or attitudes or behaviors or systems that just somehow enslave us and keep us from going forward to whatever God is summoning us to and leading us toward and intends and wills for us. As an individual Christian, you can use this season of uncertainty to see maybe where you've grown content with just sort of staying put where you are in your life. Now, I'm not talking just literally about your place or your home, but ways that you may have grown too complacent or secure with where you're at in life now without being attentive and alert to where God may be leading you, calling you, working in your life toward. So that's part of how this can be a meaningful and growing experience for you as an individual Christian. In what ways does God want you to grow deeper into the freedom you have in Christ? What things do you, as a follower of Jesus, need to leave behind in whatever ways possible if you're going to make progress in faith and in freedom through Christ? We can do that kind of thing as individual Christians and as a community of Christians, a church. We can use this whole experience of disruption and unsettledness, I think, to reawaken our sense of what it means to be a church that's always vigilant, that's alive, that's moving, that's adapting, that's adjusting in whatever ways God is working to form us and shape us, to help us move deeper into the freedom that we have in Christ as individual Christians, deeper into the freedom that we have in Christ as a church. So today, that journey of faith has brought us here to the Lord's table. We've got our own meal that helps us remember our liberation in Christ, and our own meal too that keeps us, like we saw in our text today, belt on, shoes on, walking stick in hand, always ready to roll in whatever new ways and directions God may call you or call me or summon you or summon me or summon our church. Vigilant, alert, ready to move. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ, so that we could be forgiven and made new. In him you've come to set us free from bondage to the power of sin, to the power of death, to give us freedom. We're still on that journey of faith. So thank you for the ways that you guide us day by day as we live toward the fullness of freedom in your kingdom, your reign. As we come now here to this Lord's table, help us to remember faithfully. Help us to be present to you and to one another faithfully. Help us to look forward faithfully as well, as we break the bread and share the cup together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.